greatest miracle in the world, ladies and gentlemen. And you have a brief 3 seconds to answer. No. No, it's nothing in the political realm. It's not wishing that a politician would make sense or be true to his promises. That would be a miracle, but that's out of reach. We're not even considering craziness here. Just a pure grade A miracle. And that would be, thank you very much, resurrection. Resurrection is the greatest miracle, and speaking specifically now of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it is no great thing then that Satan again should imitate that great miracle. Hello everyone, welcome to another week of the Revelation series. I am your host, Martin Zender, and I make sense for a living. Don't try this at home, it's hard. So the key phrase to remember is imitation. That will, if only people knew it, it would save them from the deception of the end times. Because remember, even the elect would be deceived if possible. How is that possible? The only way that's possible is if we are seeing such a duplicate of the truth that it looks like a carbon copy. It will be a carbon copy. It will carry the name of Christ. It will have the cross of Christ. And yet it is not Christ. It is a devious imitation. So the great miracle that's going to occur will be the resurrection. And we'll get into more details on this when we get to that section. But I'm following the order of things that Mr. A.E. Nock brings up in this excellent book on the topic, written in the 30s, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. I remind you again, for those new listeners, you can follow along with me in this book. It's actually available online in a PDF format. But there are a few pages missing from the physical book, and I'll tell you why later when we get to it. It's very interesting. Go to concordant.org, and I believe you can go to expositions or books. Fish around. Do a search. Look for The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. I'm not reinventing the wheel here. Of course, I'm riffing. I'm giving you my take on things. I'm not religiously following every detail here, but if it's brought up here, I will bring it up to you. So, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. I also keep bringing up this truth, and it is a major truth because God is going to be behind Satan. So don't think when I keep saying that Satan is going to work this miracle on the earth, or the man of lawlessness is going to work this miracle on the earth, don't think that I am eliminating the absolute viewpoint that it is God ultimately who is doing these things. And for evidence of that, we need go no further than verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Start with verse 7. This is a keynote verse for us in the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Remember it well. For the secret of lawlessness is already operating. Only when the present detainer may be coming to be out of the midst, then will be unveiled the lawless one, whom the Lord will dispatch with the spirit of his mouth and will discard by the advent of his presence. But not until the advent of his presence. Until that time, he's going to be working his will, that is, the man of lawlessness, on the earth, whose presence is in accord with the operation of Satan. So here's your hierarchy. Satan, the man of lawlessness. And we know that Satan is depicted as the fiery red dragon in the sign of the unveiling chapter 12. With all power and signs and false miracles. This is why I warned you so hard and insistently last week to be wary of miracles. With every seduction of injustice among those who are perishing. Why are they perishing? And they're not perishing eternally. They're perishing for the eon because they do not receive the love of the truth for their salvation. And again, this is salvation for the eons. All these people still have eternal life eventually. We're talking about an eonian salvation. Therefore, God will be sending them an operation of deception for them to believe the falsehood. God himself sends an operation of deception. And don't say that God would never do it, because here it is. For them to believe the falsehood, that all may be judged who do not believe the truth, but delight in injustice. And the judgments of God occur irrespective of whether God, whether or not God caused a certain thing. Everybody challenges me, Martin, how can you say that God will judge someone who God himself is responsible for making the way that person was? Well, go to Romans chapter 9 and you will read the immediate answer to that question. It is, who are you, O man, to question what God does? So God indeed does judge. But my main point there is that God himself will be sending operation of deception. And there's going to be no greater operation of deception than bringing back to life one who has been slain by the sword. Unveiling 13:14. This would be the man of lawlessness. How will he be slain? Don't know. It will probably be an assassination. There's going to be a rogue person out there. And if only they knew the scriptures, they would not assassinate the man of lawlessness. But how perfect is that? Jesus himself, no, Paul said, if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But the Jews crucified the Lord of glory because they didn't know who he was. Satan killed the Lord of glory because he didn't know that the very death and resurrection of Christ would seal the salvation of the universe. Likewise, whoever kills the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, will not know. They will assume that they will be doing a great deed. Much as those who attempted to assassinate Hitler during World War II. Of course, a good deed. So this will be a major event because Satan chooses a high-profile personality to resurrect. Satan is too worldly-wise to raise a peasant of Palestine. That was Lazarus. Lazarus was a peasant of Palestine. Who does Jesus Christ raise? A peasant from Palestine. Because although the power of resurrection is a great spiritual thrust, it's still the humble Christ here, and he's raising Lazarus. Many people do know about it, but Lazarus is a nobody, so it doesn't get the traction that it would have if Jesus Christ would have just picked some high-profile person. Raise Herod from the dead. First kill him, then raise him. Then you're going to take world power. But it wasn't time for him to take world power. But now, in this day, seen by John, it is time for the adversary to take world power. Who else did Jesus raise? A son of the widow of Nain. He raised an obscure maiden who was unknown outside her small circle in Israel. Not so the adversary. He chooses the most important man on the earth at this time, the man of lawlessness. He selects an individual to raise from the dead who has great political power, and who is in fact at the zenith of his political power when this happens. He selects a subject for this miracle, which is an imitation, obviously. Someone who occupies the center stage of the world. This ain't no Lazarus. He chooses someone who already has the political allegiance of all humanity. Never before will you see political allegiance lined up as you will for the man of lawlessness. He has brought the world, up to this point, he will have brought the world this untold feeling of peace, prosperity, everything that Benny Hinn's shooting for. This guy's going to do it, but it's going to be by equally dubious means. And he will have united the entire world under his leadership. But in a day, that is the day he is assassinated, every hope is dashed to the ground because the great conqueror is killed. I want you to think of JFK, the JFK assassination, the great conqueror. Everybody liked JFK. He was much more good looking, better looking than Richard Tricky Dick Nixon, wasn't he? That's why Tricky Dick lost the election, because he looked horrible. He looked like a propped up corpse on the debate. So we have a very loved, beloved person. Remember, the Antichrist. You say, Martin, how could the Antichrist be beloved? Again, I have to keep reminding you of this, and I will. Don't worry about it. This is presented on the earth, not as it is seen in the heaven. John sees the dragon. We know it's the adversary, but he is disguised as the messenger of light. And so he will be this man of lawlessness. Picture some kind, wonderful, powerful individual, the Pope. Picture the Pope. What if the Pope was assassinated? You remember John Paul? Was that who it was? Survived an assassination attempt in his Pope mobile in the Vatican? All right, well, oh, I just thought of something. Wow. In the cryptic language of Scripture later on in, like, verse chapter 17, verse 8 of the unveiling, no, it's 13:14. He dies by the sword. He's slain. Let me check on that. 13:14, Revelation 13:14. Wait, do you hear what I'm thinking on this? Revelation 13:14. I'm pretty sure this is the reference. We're not there yet. And speaking of the man of lawlessness, it is deceiving those dwelling on the earth because of the signs which were given it to do in the sight of the wild beasts, saying to those dwelling on the earth to make, this is speaking of the second wild beast, the false prophet, saying to those on the earth to make an image to the wild beast which has the blow of the sword and lives. The wild beast has the blow of the sword. So this is, I believe, an assassination by sword. I told you a few months ago that ISIS wants to behead the Pope at the Vatican. Now, by this, yeah, I'm suggesting that possibly, could the Pope be the Antichrist? Yes. Yes, the Pope could be the Antichrist. Does this particular Pope Francis have the capabilities, the likability, the political sway, the cool hat to be the Antichrist? Yes. It's just a little too obvious for my liking because I think mainstream Christianity will see through it. But I am told that the Pentecostal church, which I hammered last week, is developing very close ties to the Vatican. And so imagine, this is a stated goal of ISIS. They want to behead the Pope at the Vatican. Wouldn't that be an international outcry? Wouldn't it cause an international outcry? So by telling you this, I'm giving you a hint of what an event this will be. This will be an event unlike anything, and it's going to be on television. It's going to be on freaking television. And the resurrection is going to be on television. Remember, last summer, I told you, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You live by TV, you die by TV. You're all happy that you're going to show the man of law, two witnesses. Remember, the two witnesses killed. But then when the two witnesses raise up, it's also going to be televised. Uh-oh, looks like the tide turns, and the tide will turn. So this man of lawlessness, the hopes of the world are dashed to the ground at his assassination, and the vast confederacy that he's created will appear to be collapsed, like gone. It's done. No one's able to replace him, just like JFK. Nobody's going to be this good-looking again. Nobody's going to screw this many women in the White House again. So, no, not even Bill Clinton. How can you replace a man like that? He's a Superman who has shown himself capable of taking the reins of government. So his death will accentuate really the magnificence of his entire career. And all the benefits that have come through him to the world, again, will appear to be lost. So this is the man, and this is the moment for Satan's master miracle. And this is Satan's master miracle. The resurrection of the man of lawlessness. And again, my disgust at this imitation of the greatest miracle ever worked upon this planet, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our miracle. This is and will be the false miracle. And millions, if not billions of people will fall for it easily. because the stage has been and is being set.